Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Jane Marie and I are two of the partners at the Herzog Law Firm, and we have offices in Albany and Clifton Park, a new one in Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, and Kingston. And we're here every weekend talking about estate planning and Medicaid planning. Really, really important things. We're going to get right into it, but you could be our first caller, our second caller, our fourth caller, 518-465-7581. Oh, excuse me.
That's our office.
That's our office. I'm staring at our website. Excuse me. 518-476-5900. Can you tell, Jane Marie, that I have an eight-month-old who's teething and doesn't sleep?
We were wondering why you were a little bit late. Yeah.
It's been a bad night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, better days are ahead.
My Irish grandmother would say, rub a little whiskey on the gums, but...
On my gums or on the baby's gums? I did both. Anyway, so you could be our first caller, 518-476-5900, or toll-free at 1-800-WROW-590. There's a lot going on, Jane Marie. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Besides
being
the
tired,
obvious, I'm very good.
I don't think we've been on together since the holidays.
It's been a while. I think we were actually previewing like the holidays and what to look for and things like that.
That's right.
I know how your holidays were. We do see each other during the day, but how were your holidays?
They were wonderful. They were very nice. Yes.
Ben, did you have a good New Year?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good.
Yes, it was quiet, but it was very nice.
I would like a quiet New Year. I think that's
with an 8-month-old. I don't see how you have quiet anything until 16.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Well, now it's sooner. Now you don't have to. You know, I think sooner they go into their phones and they don't talk to you.
Yeah. Go into the room and don't come out.
That's kind of what's happening.
Yeah, and I think it gets younger. Yeah, every year. So maybe
I'll enjoy
five or six. You know.
and yeah, I was gonna get into an area, but I don't know who's listening, so I don't wanna talk about Christmas too much. So, Jane Marie, there are a couple principles here. We haven't talked about what we were going to talk about today. Three things. You tell me what you want to talk about first. So, number one is words matter. Mm-hmm. Number two is time matters. Mm-hmm. Number three is planning matters. Which one?
We are going to go with number two.
Time matters. Okay. So, we live in a world where, you know, people will say things like time is money. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought that meant a lot because there's so much more important things than money. And that's not exactly true. And take your time and whatever. But literally in your profession, my profession, especially when it comes to the elder law piece, time is literally money. Mm-hmm. And on a couple of different fronts. So the obvious is there's a 5-year look back period when it comes to Medicaid and nursing homes, and you want to be ahead of that.
You want to do that as early as possible because you can't predict when you're going to need help in the future.
Yeah.
So it's better to try and get that in place well in advance of the time that you would need the care.
And correct me if I'm wrong or get into it. The plan you would create for Ben if he came in and said, I need a nursing home tomorrow. I've never done a lick of anything, the cost of his plan in terms of legal fee and then the actual ramifications of what he didn't do is going to be a lot more than if he said, well, as luck would have it, 5 years and 1 month ago, I created a trust.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. So poor Ben, if he didn't do any planning, we could only save about half of his assets because he didn't do it ahead of time.
If I've been running the board for the show for 10 or 11 years and I haven't planned yet, I got big problems.
You could run the show. Literally, I could have not come in today.
Jane Marie and I were talking about what we would do, but the shaving of my head just kind of scared me because she said, you could be David. And I'm like, I don't think so.
You could be David. Absolutely. You'd certainly have the knowledge. Mm-hmm. So the earlier, and we talk about this all the time, but sometimes it's easy to break it down into time matters. You could plan ahead of time. It gives you more options. Right. When we say, hey, create this trust just in case 5 years from now you need a nursing home or even 3 years from now you need a nursing home because it will serve to benefit you even if you only got 3 years in because our worst case scenario perhaps is better, and it can get complicated. People will say, well, I'm never going into a nursing home, so why do I need to plan for if I go into a nursing home? I just told you it's never going to happen. My daughter's here. She just told you I get to move in with her.
Right.
Well, what's wrong with that?
That happens every day. I mean, everyone says, I am not moving in a nursing home. I have a plan, right? My children, I'll move in with them. But your children work, right? Mm-hmm. They may not be able to stay home and take care of you.
Yeah.
So you can stay home with bringing people into the home and pay them to take care of you.
It sounds good. Mm-hmm. It sounds nice. When Isabel and I built our house, we made the basement an extra foot, like, taller.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we could put living space down there in mm-hmm. case my folks, her folks, mm-hmm. one member of our folks, whatever, is living mm-hmm. with us one day. Sounds great. We mean well.
That's right.
You could put a thing on the stairs to help people with stairs. And
yeah, but you work. You can't be running home to...
That's what you told me earlier today. I'm not allowed to go.
You're not allowed. You got to stay in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the actual reality of, okay, so if I'm not the caregiver
mm-hmm.
and I go through this fantastic community Medicaid program we always talk mm-hmm. about, okay, so now there are other people that are in my house all the time. Is my house big enough for all of these mm-hmm. things to happen? Am I prepared to have teenagers one day
mm-hmm.
along with, you know...
You're not prepared to have teenagers.
I'm not. Oh, no.
Let's put it that way.
But at that point, if I do the math, you know, my folks would be in their upper 80s.
Yes.
And my in-law's similar. Mm-hmm. So that's a reality that it sounds good to say it 15 years earlier when I said, mm-hmm. no, I don't need a trust.
Mm-hmm.
We don't advocate for nursing homes. We're not saying do the Medicaid trust in case you need a nursing home because you're going to go into a nursing home. We're saying it protects money. And if down the road you say, you know what, I'm going to use every penny of mine on assisted living and I'll bring as much care home as possible and I'll pay to bring the nursing home to me.
Mm-hmm.
At least you have that option.
That's right. Putting your money in a trust ahead of time gives you so many more options later on, because now you can choose to do home care, you can choose to do assisted living, as you said. You can take money back out of the trust if you need it.
It's still your money.
It's still your money. Whereas if you just give it away to your kids instead of a trust, and many people say, oh, I'll give it to my daughter, she'll hold it for me. That's not as safe as having it in a trust.
So I'm speaking to the people who have met with us over the last several years who have said, not yet. I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. Not yet. I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. Okay. Mm-hmm. It time is money. You could mm-hmm. save yourself a lot of money.
Well, the other reason to do it early is that there isn't much change in your, especially if you put your house into the trust, in your day-to-day life, in your control over your living situation, because you still control where you live. You know, the trust is legally the owner, but you are in charge. So a lot of people don't want to give up that control.
Yeah.
But you're not really giving up that much control by putting your house in the trust.
So let me give everyone out there an example of how time matters. And This is not going to apply to a lot of people. It may apply to some people. Who knows? But this is just an example. So we have a client down in Rockland County. She is the mother of a client that's in Ulster County. Mm-hmm. And a client said, look, she's starting to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up her. He became power of attorney recently, looked up the Carfax and all that stuff. There were eight.
Wow.
Occurrences, reporting accidents that occurred in the last 12 months. He had no idea about them. But the insurance company knew about them because mm-hmm. they were reported. Mm-hmm. Okay,
I'm surprised they didn't drop her.
Yes. So she's got a house in Rockland mm-hmm. County. They're expensive. They're
yes.
nice,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're close to the city. Or even if they're not nice, they're expensive.
That's
and, horrible. And she's got about $1 million in different mm-hmm. investments and CDs and whatever. So a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, "Look," she's got a revocable trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a trust that's going to avoid probate, it's going to get things to the right people, do real nuts mm-hmm. and bolts estate planning. And I said, look, if she needs a nursing home tomorrow, and he definitely thinks she's dementia.
She's heading that way.
Or if not already.
Mm-hmm.
She's a tough cookie.
Mm-hmm.
to deal with and try to get her to go to the doctor. If she needs a nursing home tomorrow, let's just say, what we're going to do is we're going to say private pay for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. Where we'll set up a trust and that. Or we'll do what you alluded to, which is save half the money, mm-hmm. which is a gift and loan plan. And based on her math, that's probably 5 years of right. anyway. Mm-hmm. And I said, if the sooner we amend and restate her trust to go from revocable to irrevocable to get this mm-hmm. five-year clock ticking, as soon as you do that, that next month you saved yourself about $15,000. He said, he emailed me right away. How do you figure? Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
Explain, yes.
So, well, 1 month in mm-hmm. to your five-year look-back period, I no longer need to private pay for 5 full years. I need to private pay for 4 years and 11 months mm-hmm. to get us to the 5 years.
That's right.
Which means that 2024, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, payment that I don't have to do anymore at a Rockland County nursing home. Mm-hmm. I'm being nice by saying $15,000.
Yes, because it's more money down there. Right.
So we get to a year from now. He has to private pay for 4 years only to get her to the five-year mark, et cetera, et cetera. We're 3 years in, et cetera. And that principle does apply to every single client we have because it's not true you need to get through 5 years to make it worth it. And this is, again, assuming doom and gloom we need a nursing home. Chances are we don't need a nursing home. But if we do... If we're a year away from the 5 years, we're not pressing reset. We'll probably advise you to private pay by pulling your own money out of your own trust for one more year. That's it. Mm-hmm. And we made your worst case scenario a lot better. And I said, I don't know when it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't. But literally, the sooner you just change the words in the trust, mm-hmm. you're saving money because time that's is
right.
money.
That's right.
There you go.
Good example. Really, yeah. really great.
Well, that's why mm-hmm. literally happened this week. So... Mm-hmm. One more example of time is money. We happen to have, I don't want to, we may or may not have the best attorneys in the world. I think we do. We do have the best Medicaid paralegals in the world.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And they're able to move heaven and earth to get someone qualified as soon as possible. To analyze financial documents, to advise clients on what they need to do, how much of a loan and gift in mm-hmm. January's plan, what other exemptions are there to get you eligible for Medicaid as soon as possible. The way it works in Medicaid, January, correct me if I'm wrong, they look at your eligibility as the first day of a month, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So if I moved everything around and got everything all set by January 31st. A client could be eligible on February 1st, mm-hmm. and we could apply in March, even in April, and have it be retroactive. The pickup date on the amount that's covered by Medicaid goes back to February 1st. So it's incredibly important, especially at the end of the month. It's crazy in our office because mm-hmm. they're running around making mm-hmm. sure our clients have done everything they mm-hmm. could do. And we've had a scenario I've talked about a couple times where a client has had 19 properties in his name only. And because we have these great paralegals, it's not a problem. The deeds are already ready. We're waiting for the client to come in. So that way we have February 1st eligibility because time matters. And when you're, this is in the crisis scenario, when you're trying to pick who are you going to use or am I going to try to do this on my own? And there are circumstances where someone can do a Medicaid application on their own. I'm not going to tell you can't do it. But if you lose a month, you lost a month.
Right, and then you lost that $15,000.
On February 1st, you move the money over. Well, you lost mm-hmm. February. Mm-hmm. Same thing with March.
Right.
So it's incredibly important that when a family member or friend has that need, get them in. Let us at least diagnose them in terms of the legalities. Tell them exactly what they need to do because it is so important. One more example. I'm sorry to be hogging up all the air here. So a mutual acquaintance of ours who is a financial advisor and occasionally will have clients who need our services had a client for us, and I met with the client. Finally, we got together. It took a week or two for our schedules to mesh. It was December 30th. So Monday mm-hmm. of last week came in, and it turns out his wife needs care, needs Medicaid, needs a nursing home. She's got more money than he does. And the way the math works, I don't want to get into it, but we just need to literally move an account from her to him. Mm-hmm. And we spoke at 4 o'clock on Monday the 30th.
That's pushing it.
Yeah. So right there and then, I conference in the financial advisor. Mm-hmm. I say, we need this account opened up yesterday. Mm-hmm. He opens up a new account in husband's name mm-hmm. on the 31st, right before the, you know, the
mm-hmm. right
end
before
of his
the New
day.
Year's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the money over. He gives me confirmation that the money's been moved over. Mm-hmm. January 1st, his wife qualifies.
That is probably the most extreme last-minute example
January
that we've had in our office.
So in that scenario, that was a $10,000 mm-hmm. savings for him mm-hmm. because assuming that everything else checks out and we do get them eligible and the mm-hmm. facts are as we were told, she will be eligible backdated to January 1st. So time matters and being able to have the know-how or go to someone with mm-hmm. the know-how really is important.
Yes, it is. Another thought I was having when you're talking about time matters is even if you're in that crisis situation, some clients think that I don't have to worry about this until my Medicare coverage runs out.
Yeah.
Because when you first go into nursing home, Medicare is covering you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wait to the last day to do this planning. Mm-hmm. So even in that situation, you need to get in as soon as possible so we can get you ready for that first of the month.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, Jamie, talk about how Medicare works. So a mom goes to the hospital, she's there for a week, and then goes to rehab. So how does Medicare help?
So while you're in rehab, Medicare will cover the first 20 days in full. And then after that, they'll cover the next 80 days with a copay for you. So at most, you have 100 days, which is 3 months. Most of our clients don't get that full 100 days in our experience.
So why wouldn't they get it?
Because at some point, and this is just typical of elderly people, they're not able to continue the rehab. So
ideally, the point of rehab, you get better, and now you don't need any services whatsoever. You're saying that they get to the point where rehab doesn't help.
Isn't helping anymore, but they can't come home, and they need to stay in the nursing home, but they're not under the rehab anymore.
So Medicare will say, well, I know you're in day
30 or
whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you've plateaued or mm-hmm. you're refusing rehab, which happens
that
quite
happens
frequently.
A lot too. Right?
And we're not paying. So the nursing facility that has the rehab center, they still need to get paid. So all of a sudden you go from whatever Medicare was paying them to private pay rate.
That's right.
You never know when that's going to happen.
You don't know when that's going to happen. And we tell it could happen any day. And when you get that notice, it's it's a day ahead of time.
You can be our first caller at 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. After we tell you about our seminars, Jamie will be selecting from Words Matter or Planning Matters as our next topic. We do have some January
like a game
seminars.
Show.
Well, mm-hmm. have you been watching the Jeopardy with the?
Yes, yeah.
Pretty great
with the chicken.
and by the way, those guys they're so brilliant. And even like it's amazing mm-hmm. when Ken Jennings can just. Mm-hmm. If spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, but how they could beat on each other so mm-hmm. so completely. They're so brilliant. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy when I get an answer right. So we do have January seminars. Do you know what the topic is, Jamie?
It is our general estate and Medicaid planning.
That's we'll a
give
good
you
one.
A broad overview.
That's a very good one.
Mm-hmm. And the seminar is coming up. So Tuesday, January 21st at 2 o'clock at the Hampton Inn in Clifton Park. The next day, January 22nd at 2 o'clock at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Avenue in Albany. And then two on January 23rd, one at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Courtyard by Marriott on Wolf Road in Albany. And then this is a new one at 2 o'clock that afternoon at the Courtyard by Marriott at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
I think you reserved that one, didn't you?
No, Debbie did.
So smart, that Debbie.
She's so smart. So you can go hear us, and then you can go right and gamble right afterwards.
Very
good
nice.
Combination. That's right. And then last but not least, on January 30th at 2 o'clock at the Holiday Inn Express in Lake Katrine near Kingston.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Those are wonderful seminars to get your beak wet, so to speak, to get mm-hmm. some more information, to ask those questions. You can kind of sit and listen, and maybe some things don't apply to you, some things do, but you can kind of, mm-hmm. you know, get some information for mom or dad or for yourself, or drag your spouse mm-hmm. to it, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a really great way to start the conversation. It should never take the place of, neither should this show, to coming in and actually meeting, spending an hour with Jane Marie. Mm-hmm. Getting your facts apply, you know, and her expertise to combine to come up with a good plan.
That's right. And if you want to come to one of the seminars, or if you want to come into the office to schedule an appointment, you can call us at 518-465-7581, or you can email us at info@herzoglaw.com.
So, Jane Marie, would you like words matter? Or plan? I would like you to do words matter.
Words matter.
Okay, thank you for selecting words matter. So, words really, 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 really do matter in our profession. What a spouse is important. Who your children are mm-hmm. is important. We've had a lot of clients. I think it's just the way the world works, right? Sometimes people have relationships and marriages, and those don't work out. But they did create children in that mm-hmm. original relationship. And then, you know, people move on, get married again, or meet people who have kids. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I find that it, based on what our clients tell us, seems to be one happy family. And mm-hmm. sometimes my kids and her kids, they grow up together, and really his kids, that's my daughter, right? I consider her my daughter.
The couple treats all of the kids, you know, as their own.
And it's wonderful that the couple mm-hmm. does that, mm-hmm. but New York State doesn't do that.
No, they do not.
So, we always use the word issue in our documents. What does issue mean?
So issue is only, is your children, but it's your biological children. So your children and then your grandchildren and down the line there.
So if I am in a second marriage, I have kids, he's got kids, and my plan is to leave everything to all the kids one day. Mm-hmm. I need to plan. I can't, you know, other people that just have a spouse and kids, they are lucky enough to rely on, in some instances, not doing any planning and getting away with it. Because New York law may provide that everything goes to your spouse, or New York law may provide everything goes to your kids, or a combination of spouse and kids. You kind of get away with it. But New York looks at this whole issue thing, the biological mm-hmm. thing. So we've had real circumstances, unfortunate circumstances, and a lot of times siblings have said, no, the money I received really was meant for the four of us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share it with the four of us. Mm-hmm. But you actually need to have an active plan, and it's not just as simple as I leave everything to my children. If you go online and fill out some form to spit mm-hmm. out a will mm-hmm. that says, yeah, no, everything's to my children. That was easy. Why should mm-hmm. I spend money with Herzog mm-hmm. Law Firm?
Right.
Probably what you wrote was everything goes to my biological children. Now, it didn't say biological children in it.
It doesn't say that in the definition, but what you need to do is include stepchildren. Or you, there's many different ways you can say it, you know, my husband's children or my stepchildren, or just name them. You know, that's the easiest. So, and that's important. Sometimes couples don't even think about it. I mean, I've had a few times where they forgot to tell us that one child was a child from a prior marriage.
I'm shaking my head. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, that's so lovely.
Yes.
It's such a lovely thing that mm-hmm. you know, that's how close they are. And mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter. I have friends who have 5 or 6 grandparents.
Yes.
Okay, or 5 or 6 parents because... Mm-hmm. of good relationships and second relationships their own parents mm-hmm. had, right? Now mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's my stepdad. But mm-hmm. it doesn't even, they're called dad or some version of it.
Yeah, that's my kids on my husband's side. We have 2 sets of grandparents and great-grandparents, and that's just who it is.
Yeah, a lot of presents at Christmas time.
That's
why not?
Right.
So that it's all lovely, but in their questionnaire, they wrote, mm-hmm. you know, relationship to mm-hmm. yourself, child.
Well, that's actually, that came up personally for me because my stepfather, well, not my husband's stepfather, I should say, wrote his will and sent it to me, the review, because I'm a lawyer. Yeah.
You are a lawyer.
I am a lawyer. And it did just say children in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, my husband's not going to be included. You know, he was the only child.
Yeah.
So I went back. I'm like, you either have to name him or say your stepchildren.
Yeah. And we usually don't name people in our diocese. I mean, we'll name the executor right. and things like that. We typically won't name who the children are.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sometimes people will come in with a will that does name the children. You know, in my mind, it's the more that you put in there, the more that might not be accurate. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to just put issue if you mean all the kids equally. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if there's going to be an unequal distribution, we name people. If your house is going to one kid, we name them.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. You know, the word spouse matters a tremendous amount. I mean, it matters for tax purposes. It matters for health insurance purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know when, the same-sex marriage arguments were happening in Massachusetts, I think, was the first state to allow it. One of the important things about that was just the legal impact of what a spouse is. You know, does my health insurance cover my household or does it not?
Right.
In our world, estate planning, if I'm trying to get qualified for Medicaid and guess what? That client where, the time matters example, if it turned out that it wasn't his spouse that needed Medicaid, it was his life partner that he's had, right? And he and she have been together for 40 years, but they never actually got married. Well, that transfer from her to him is going to come with a penalty because he's not the spouse.
Yes, and that happens frequently. Older couples, second relationships, so to speak, they're not going to get married again. So, but that has implications for Medicaid.
Absolutely.
Which you don't even think about when you're doing that.
And we're not saying, hey, everyone get married or everyone adopt, your stepkids and things like that. It's nothing like that. Live your life. Just have a plan and actually have documents that reflect everything goes to so-and-so. You don't have to call them your spouse. You could just say to this person.
That's right.
Create a trust ahead of time so we don't need to rely on the spousal exemptions that exist out there.
That's right.
We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And good morning, I'm Dave Kabikian.
And good morning, I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
As we were talking the first half hour here, we were talking about how words matter and time matters, because of course they do. And because, we live in a world and we actually practice in an area where, we're in the margins, right? If you're able to do a trust just at the right time, it could have huge ramifications. If we use certain words in your documents, or we fail to use certain words, it could also have huge ramifications. We'd love to talk about, we love having topics to talk about every day. We'd love for you to be a caller, though, and talk about and answer your questions at 518-476-5900 or toll-free at 1-800-WROW-590.
And please call in. Maybe the warm weather is making people go outside and...
Yeah, during the break, Ben actually checked to see if the phones
were working. I know, that's right.
I just wanted to make sure that the phones actually work. The phones actually work.
Oh, we have a call. We're
happy to take your calls, but this unusual weather is making it
perhaps
spring-like, perhaps.
Perhaps. And
Are you playing golf later?
No. I'm so bad. In the couple minutes we have here, a couple seconds, I do want to mention, we did open up a Clifton Park office.
Yes, we did. Very exciting.
Where furniture is getting delivered shortly, and we will be actively taking appointments there in the next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And we also added real estate exclusive attorney, Dan Glasser.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan has practiced on his own for a number of years, and he's really going to help us, especially our clients who are thinking about doing a life estate deed, or they're putting assets into a trust. Mm-hmm. They want to sell assets in a trust, which is really easy to do.
Buying and selling your house. And we've always helped clients with that. But now it's really nice to have someone just dedicated to real estate who can handle all those issues for you.
There's a lot of title issues that come when people pass away, and he can do title insurance and all those things. So feel free to call our office for real estate transactions as well.
And we have a caller. It's John in Gilderland.
Hey, John.
Good morning.
What's up?
I have a question regarding an irrevocable life insurance trust. Mm-hmm. I think I want to set one up. I have very old policies. Mm-hmm. They're so old that the dividend is well in excess of the
premium,
annual premium. Mm-hmm. So they send me a check every year. Mm-hmm. Now, if I set that up in a trust, can I still have income from that those policies?
So it depends on how the trust is worded. An irrevocable asset protection trust, like we do for Medicaid purposes, would let you have the income.
Right.
And it would protect the cash value of the life insurance policy.
Okay, so I could do that.
So you could do that. That's what I would recommend.
So what's your motivation for wanting to create that? Because you use some language that actually can reflect a document we'd use to lower your estate tax exposure.
I saw, it's not my own trust, but I saw a trust that was set up by Debbie from your office.
Okay.
And it put a lot of stuff in that trust. Mm-hmm. It was a family trust, and it put a lot in. It put the house, and it put CDs,
so other things
like
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. And the income from that goes to the settlor.
Yeah.
Well, there were two of them, but one's a survivor, and so the dividends or interest go to the surviving settlor, as long as she lives. And then when she dies, the trust goes to their only son.
So, sounds great. I mean, that might be a good fit for you.
But I'm talking about two trusts, because one would be for the life insurance, and the other one would be for my house and stocks, things like that, for everything else that we have no need for.
Gotcha. So, you know, you're definitely going to want to come in to talk about it, because typically, absent some motivation that you have, we'll put it all into just one trust, but we can do two, we can do three trusts. Mm-hmm. Where people separate life insurance and in a standalone trust, usually it's going to be because we're going to put some different rules on that type of trust and make it so that it's not includable in their gross taxable estate. If you're motivated just by having income or not having income from the assets in the trust, again, I think Jay Marie or I or Debbie or mm-hmm. Harry would want to have that conversation. There are some consequences sometimes to not being the income beneficiary of a trust. And among other things, we want to make sure that whenever, you know, the end happens for you, that your beneficiaries are going to get the best tax benefits possible and get a step up in the basis. So a lot of time, and I get the feeling from you, you're hitting some buzzwords, and if you used other words, mm-hmm. perhaps I wouldn't respond this way. Mm-hmm. But some of the words you've used, an irrevocable life insurance that's got a certain definition in our world.
Okay.
But I'd recommend you come in and we talk about it, and obviously it's a bigger picture. You know, what does the family look like? What other assets are there? Pros, cons. You know, what's income and what are your goals and all that stuff.
Okay, right. I'll call the office then.
Well, wonderful.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
for the call. I think we have another caller. Do we, Ben?
We do. It's Edward in Clifton Park.
Hey, Ed.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
What's up?
My question is about power of attorney. We're looking at doing this, and we have a question. If you have two people you're considering for power of attorney, does one take precedence over the other? Question number one. Question number two is, do both, if you have two, do they both have to agree on some action to be taken?
Well, that's a good question, and the answer is it's up to you how you want to structure it. There's a lot of flexibility with the power of attorney, so you can name two people, and you can make them have to act together so they agree on everything, or you could name two people and let them act separately from each other. So it's your choice which way you want to go. And the, you know, there's certainly pros and cons for doing it one way or the other way.
But then it would have to be clearly stated in there? Is that
yes, we clearly state that in the power of attorney.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, hold on, Ed, before you get off there. So a question for you. Are the two people you're thinking about, are they both local? Are either of them local?
It would be a wife and a daughter.
Okay. Because a lot of times people will make that decision. Is it going to be one and the other? Is it one then the other? One or the other? Based on proximity or, you know, this one's a little more involved in my life. This one's a little less. And just as the previous caller, you know, we can tell you right now, it's up to you. You know, I think we do have advice one way or the other based on all the other facts. So you may want to come in and talk about it.
But it would have to be clearly stated. If there just two names were there and it wasn't stated, then it would be tough to determine how that would be working.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Powers of attorney are so important. You know, the whole planning matters part, a lot of it was just these real basic documents, because it allows, you know, the agent to do a lot of the moving money from one spouse to the other, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Even creating a trust and getting someone eligible for community Medicaid. The power of attorney, healthcare proxy, they're like the building blocks of a good plan.
And they're just down to the basics. If you are out sick and you have a surgery and you're, you know, in the hospital and recovering for several weeks, you may not be able to get to pay your bills.
And please don't wait until, like, don't come in and say, well, they're going to do something on Tuesday. Can I come in on Monday? It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could make it work that way, but we really don't want to.
I have done that several times for clients right before surgery, but it's not ideal because it's rushed and it's hard to get it done that quickly. Ideally, you want to have these in place when it's not an emergency, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know who it's going to be. It's not like you need some more time necessarily to think about it, or you need a certain event upcoming.
Mm.
You know, sorry to be, again, Ben, you say I'm not negative, I'm realistic.
Bad you are happen. Realistic, very
bad
realistic.
Bad things can happen. I can not make it home on the way back from the radio station, or I can, and my brain could be mushed because of something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So you just have these basic documents. It's not that... It's like the first layer of planning. And if you're like, oh, I'm not ready to do a healthcare proxy, then it's like, wow, we got
to
just...
We
need to talk because, you know, now we're denying that we're going to essentially get old one day or die one day, which, you know...
Well, I use the example. It's not always these permanent terminal things. Like I said, it's just you're sick for a while and then you're going to recover.
You're in Tahiti for the weekend and your flight got delayed.
That's right. And you need someone to go take care of something for you.
Yeah.
That's a power of attorney. That's very easy to do.
You know, on a personal note, I mean, Isabel has a power of attorney for me. And it was not because it includes in case my brain becomes mush. But it was also she had to sign some documents and I had a court appearance. So here, use the power of attorney. That's really easy.
Yeah. Michael gave me a power of attorney years ago when we did a refinance. He wasn't going to go to that. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, why would he?
That's right.
You can be our third caller at 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. One day I will call toll free just to see if it actually works. I don't believe it does. I've never tried it out.
Well, we never tried out the pound 590, but that's not even available anymore. So.
No. We do have seminars in January, and again, as Jan Marie mentioned earlier, it's about the basics, estate planning and Medicaid planning from a longer view. We do get into healthcare proxies and powers of attorney, and then we quickly get into wills, probate avoidance, and then trusts, the different kinds, and then some complex Medicaid crisis planning.
So it covers a lot.
It covers a lot. It's a long one. That's why they don't have coffee and cookies for nothing. It's because that's a long one.
I mean, we try and give you an overview because we could probably give a whole day seminar on all those topics.
We went to school for 3 years for all those topics.
That's
Jeez.
Right. Tuesday. But we're going to cut it down to an hour and a half for you.
Tuesday, January 21st at 2 p.m. We'll be in Clifton Park, right about a half mile from our new office. Mm-hmm. And we'll be at the Hampton Inn at 620 Plank Road. Wednesday, January 22nd at 2 p.m., we'll be at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Avenue in Albany. That's right across from SUNY. Next day, the 23rd at 10 a.m., we're going to be in Albany again on Wolf Road at the Courtyard by Marriott, I guess, / Residence Inn. And then lastly, at 2 p.m., we're going to be at the casino at Rivers, the Courtyard by Marriott, right there in Mohawk Harbor. That's 240 Harborside Drive in Schenectady. We do have a seminar at the end of the month in Kingston, Holiday Inn Express, on Ulster Avenue down there in Kingston. That's January 30th at 2 p.m. So what else, Jamie? What else is going on in your world?
Well, you know, just back to the importance of having a power of attorney. You know, I had a client come in this week, and I went to see his mom because she wasn't doing so well, mm-hmm. and they needed to take care of things. And I always like to kind of give that person a chance.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went to see her.
Well, sorry to cut you off. Mom is the, in any mm-hmm. situation, mom will be the mm-hmm. client, not the son.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
so you got to make sure. Yeah.
Right. So he needed the power of attorney to take care of some things. And, you know, mom's in a assisted living, not in a nursing home yet. So I said, okay, well, you know, maybe she can sign the power of attorney. And I will get back to that story. We have Nick from Troy.
Hey, Nick.
Good morning. How are you doing?
What's going on?
I got a question to ask you. If you got a will and you have one, like the lawyer has it in their office, can I have a second one? Say I don't. I want to have two original wills. In other words, they're both the same thing. Say I give one to my daughter and I keep one.
So
my daughter.
It's not a good idea to have more than one original, because if we ever need to probate that will, we actually need both originals in order to mm-hmm. prove that it's a valid will, and it ends up being kind of a headache. Now, you could have as many copies as you want and spread those out as you want. You know, a lot of times attorneys hold on to the wills more just for safekeeping, because you know, now your will is with your papers and someone doesn't see it and it gets thrown out or something like that. But if you wanted your original, you could easily contact that attorney to get your original. And if you wanted to give your original to your daughter, I suppose you could do that too. Whether it's a good idea or not is kind of a different story. But I would say definitely not a good idea to have two originals, because then we're proving these two documents and we're doing twice the work when we could have done half the work. And I'm sorry, go ahead, Nick.
I don't think you understand my question.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
The two wills are original wills. They're both the same.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep one. I'm not going to let one stay in the lawyer's office.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I'm going to let my daughter keep.
So what ends up happening procedurally, so let's say...
But they're both the same now.
Yeah. No, the exact same, dated the same. They're both originals and two originals. I got it. So what ends up happening, heaven forbid you passed away, Nick, and we needed to probate your will... If the court knows that there are two of them, or if your daughter, who maybe is the executrix of the will, knows there's two of them, legally, she's supposed to let the court know that. And then the court will require the original that you had and the original that she had, even though it's the same document, same exact document, they will require both of them. Because if, let's say that your daughter has the original and we can't find your original, the court is going to assume that you destroyed it because you hated that will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case, right? You love your will, but that's what the right. But that's what the court's going to assume.
We have two. I'm going to say, don't tell anybody. We're just going to have the case.
So, if there's a situation where the court's not aware there's two, well, then they'll just need to probate one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn the tables on you, though. Mm-hmm. And Ben's heard this enough times, and I think Jamie too. Why are we going to go through probate to begin with? So is there a way to maybe set up your estate and your plan so that way we don't even need any wills? I mean, wills are important because it reflects what you want, but you can have other documents that reflect what you want without needing to go through a court, and you could have as many originals of those other documents mm-hmm. as you want. So it may, Nick, be worth it to talk about probate in general and whether we want to avoid it. if you want to have two original documents and they're the same and you have one and she has one, nothing stops you from doing that. And if no one ever knew about it, and if it was just Ben, Jamery, me, and whoever happens to be listening that knows Nick and Troy's got two wills, so be it. So, yes, you could do it. In a bigger picture, though, I don't know if we'd recommend it, and we would most importantly maybe recommend you avoid probate if you can.
Well, then I'd have to set a trust up if I want to avoid.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So when it comes to real estate, for example, you can do what's called a life estate deed. So if you own your place that you're living in right now, you can deed it to your daughter and reserve what's called a life estate. You obviously could set up a trust for a lot of other things like bank accounts and stocks, bonds. You can name your daughter as a beneficiary if that's who you wanted to get things. So there's some ways around it. It may be worth it to come in and talk about it. Obviously, we have plenty of clients where a will is the right thing, mm-hmm. and they do a will, and that's all they need. But it might be worth looking into.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Nick.
Thank you. And another caller, we have Barbara in Boston Spa.
Good morning. I have a trust with you, I just received my tax bill. I'm in Saratoga County. And on it, it's been transferred so that my house passes. But there's only myself and my son, and my daughter is not listed on that.
That happens, excuse me, quite a lot. It's actually the deed that shows who legally owns the house. And when they do the tax bills, they look at the deed, and believe it or not, they don't have room to fit all three of your names on the tax bill. So that doesn't necessarily mean that your daughter, you said, isn't included. You have to go back and look at the deed, and that's what proves the legal ownership of the property.
But I own the house.
Mm-hmm. You have the life use of the house.
The trust that I set up, the house passes probate. My name is still mm-hmm. on it, and then I have my son, and then I want my daughter on there. So, is there something I can go to the tax department mm-hmm. locally and?
So let me give you an example. Okay, so if I created the Dave Kabikian Trust and I had Jane Marie Schaefer and Ben Patton as my trustees, mm-hmm. the county is going to, the way that the house is actually titled going forward, right, would be Jane Marie Schaefer and Ben Patton as the trustees of the Dave Kabikian Family Trust. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's not uncommon for the tax bills to only reflect part of it, and maybe it says just Jane Marie and Ben Patton, and it forgets mm-hmm. the as trustees of the Dave mm-hmm. Kabikian Trust. So now I'm all worried because what's going on here? I thought I still live there, mm-hmm. and I do. It's just that they weren't able to fit all the words. So if it's that you want to add your daughter as a trustee or something like that, that's very easy to do. Now, even though it sounds like the trust owns your property, but you still have the life use. So you're there, you're paying all the bills, it's still your house. And then upon your death, your trust will terminate and this house automatically goes to whoever you wanted in your trust. So if you feel that it's not going to your daughter and you want it to, we'll obviously look at your trust and happy to amend it to say so. If you want your daughter to be a trustee on there so her name's on it and maybe she wasn't named a trustee, again, easy to amend. It's your trust. You call the shot. So we could amend it in 2 seconds.
My other question is in relation to the star exemption. Would you review, I know you have talked about it, would you review how you pay the full shot and then they come back to you? Or?
Oh, you mean how the star mm-hmm. exemption works?
Mm-hmm. I had the star exemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it used to be that your taxes were lower because the actual taxes due would be lower because of the star exemption. Now your taxes are the same, but you get a check back in the mail that represents what that STAR exemption was.
Where does that check come from?
Yeah, right. It's a little more difficult.
They make you pay it up front, and then you get a refund later, so that's not as good. Right?
And where the... Who sends you the check later? The town?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And every now and then they'll send it to payable to the trust, or they'll, you know, sometimes they'll send it payable to you. Sometimes they'll send it payable to the trust. It's all the same. It's you're responsible for the taxes, so you're entitled to that refund.
So you just yourself. Pay the bill on...
Yeah.
Maybe it works and maybe it doesn't.
Oh, it works. No, but it definitely will work, yeah, but they made it a little harder.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Good call.
So, Jimmy, the trust that we always talk about, it's no one should be bashful about wanting to ask more questions about the trust they already did, right? A lot of times people say, well, I have a trust with you guys, and what does this mean? What does that mean?
And that's fine, because we may have explained it, but you may not remember it. It's hard to understand. You know, we do this every day. I had a client say that to me yesterday. You know, you do this every day, so it's easy for you, but yeah. I am having a hard time understanding it, you know? So.
Well, whenever, if you're a client out there and you want to learn more about your own documents, I think you're entitled.
Yes.
Come on in whenever you want to.
We'll review them. We'll
phone
go over
calls,
them again. Right.
Sometimes you met with an attorney that is no longer with the firm, it was 15 years ago, and you know, there's a different, I explain things differently than other people do. Jan Marie does as well. And that those different explanations might be handy.
Or sometimes I've had this where clients come in with their children now. Maybe they weren't there in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because now they really want their kids to understand what's going on as they're getting older. So we'll do that happily.
Well, the trustees should know what their job is as well.
That's right. And we have another caller. We have Shirley from Troy.
Hey, Shirley.
Good morning.
What's up?
I have a will that Dave did for me, and I have my house and all my children's names, and everything I have, my insurance bills, my insurances and all that, they're all beneficiaries. What else do I need? Do I need a Medicaid trust, or do I need a trust, or do I need anything else, or is that okay?
Well, so I would say this. Hi, by the way, how's it going? Because we talked about it the first time, and because you settled on doing it, the type of deed you did and a will and all that stuff, I would assume that you're all set. Now, as we just mentioned, it's always a good idea to come back in and just talk about it. It's absolutely free. We just talk, and you say how life has changed for the better or worse, and we see, does it make sense to change the plan around? Plans are designed to be changed, and we you know, you can speak to it. You know, that client questionnaire that we send out, it's pretty involved, and whenever we meet, we talk about a lot of good things, a lot of bad things, to try to hash out what a good plan will be for you. So I would assume that whatever you created at a minimum still works, but it might not work as good as something else, and it's something for you to maybe consider. I would definitely just come in, though, to talk about it.
Okay, I'll make an appointment then.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
And that's kind of what I was going to get to, Jamie, the idea that people do these complex documents, they mm-hmm. spend good money on it, and they're saving a lot more money.
Right.
And there's no doubt in my mind it's a worthwhile thing. You got to understand, you know, what you're doing. You got to understand what
right.
you have.
Maybe you understood it at the time, a year ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago, right?
I've had my car jammer for 7 years. There are buttons that I have no idea what they do, right? Like,
right.
I should probably know what buttons in my car do. It's been 7 years, but...
That's right.
If you have, certainly if you have a trust that's controlling how your assets go one day when you're no longer here, I think you should understand it.
That's right. So we're happy to have you come in, and we can review it with you and explain anything to you. And sometimes we do pick up changes that need to be made at that time.
Yeah.
You know, so, beneficiaries.
How often do you think, we talk about this a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll see someone every year or two.
Yeah, whenever they want to.
But big changes. Mm-hmm. What kinds of big things should trigger them to maybe come in?
So, marriages, you know, births, a grandchild, you know, on the sadder side, deaths, you know, so... If anything has changed with your executors, your trustees, your powers of attorney, Maybe someone's just moved out of state and you want to switch it to another child who's local. These are all types of things that make you want to review the documents.
You know, one of the biggest, I know we're right at the end here, one of the biggest benefits of your trust is protecting real estate and also being able to still buy or sell real estate and move. And whenever those events are happening, even though it's very simple in our minds, because we do it every day, that's definitely when we want to have a conversation with you to help with that real estate transaction
as
well.
Yes, because that is a lot of times where mistakes are made, where the house is sold and the money is not kept in the trust.
Yeah.
So that's really why you need to talk to us before you sell your house, so we make sure it's still protected.
Yeah, I mean, Barbara and Bolson Spa calling saying that it's still my house. Well, it belongs to your trust. Mm-hmm. If you sold it, Barbara, we don't want you getting money back. We want the money to go to your trust to continue to protect it.
Although the money is still available for you. It's your money, right?
Absolutely. Anything going on this weekend, Jamarie, with this beautiful, balmy weather?
No.
I don't know if it's going to be beautiful. It'll be warm. Mm-hmm.
I'm helping my son shop before he goes back to college. And
oh, you must be so excited.
Yes, he's just going to spend all my money this weekend. That's great.
If everyone could see Jamarie roll her eyes, it's priceless. Ben, how about you? Anything going on?
No, quiet weekend. Got to get stuff done around the house. Mm-hmm. So, how about you? You going to try and get some sleep?
I'm going to try to take a nap.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. Probably watch your 49ers later.
Well, 4 o'clock. Everyone cross your fingers. We need a NFC Championship game in our future. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.
For listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.